This is Prop Point on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Nick Whalen. He's Jeff Erickson. We're from rotowire.com. We got an excellent show coming your way over the next hour. Plenty to discuss from a wild weekend in the World Cup. We, of course, have Team USA coming up later tonight. So we will talk through what was a wild night of games last night. We'll have Patrick Maher joining the show for a full preview for today's slate for Team USA. Looking ahead to what is coming up over the next couple of days, we'll place a play it or pass it, looking at not only some World Cup plays for Jeff Erickson, but some baseball bets for today. We'll get Jeff's full card in Major League Baseball to round out the show. As always, if you miss any of our episodes, if you just want to re-listen in podcast form, you can check us out. Prop Points, you can find all VSiN shows wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's Apple, Spotify, anywhere else that's hosted podcasts these days. I feel like those are the big two, Jeff, but just search Prop Points, search VSiN, and you will find us there. Let's get right into it, Jeff. Oliver and Balogun, his red card has been officially suspended by FIFA. We are now going back and forth where it looks like Belgium is trying to appeal this heading into tonight's game. You're going to have to do some explaining to me, Jeff, because we talked about this quite a bit on air last week. I think we were all under the impression that there was no appeals process. There was not much precedent for FIFA walking back a decision like this. Donald Trump has apparently gotten involved. What exactly is happening here, and what does this mean for how you're playing USA-Belgium tonight?
Yeah, we were somberly informed that there was no appeals process. This was reiterated, and then the news came down yesterday morning, and I was shocked as anybody else. And then we saw some leaking of some explanations. Today, there was a statement saying there's an 18-person committee, and they're independent, and I don't know what to believe. I know there was reporting on the political aspect of that. And of course people have to take a stance on that, including, you know, US people saying they're not rooting for the US because of who's involved. I just don't know. I'm so tired of the discourse already on this one here. All I know is Balogun is massively important to the team's attack. A top quality striker, played at Monaco this year, and the with and without just performances so far that we've seen with him are pretty striking in their difference. Who the U.S. would have gone with instead, whether it's going to be Pepe or whether it's going to be Wright, that's another story for another day. I do like how now everybody is an expert on A, Balogun and how good he is, self-included, B, red cards and what fouls that require red cards, the use of VAR, and D, the appeals process. We're all suddenly experts. It's COVID all over again. We're all experts about everything here. The discourse has been just maddening. And I just can't wait for the game to start. Just want to be able to enjoy this game. It's just like everything else now. It seems like seemingly ruined by the discourse. It's also a good reminder. Stay offline for a while. You know, if you really want to get your mood improved, just stay off Twitter. Probably a better way to deal with all of that there. For the game tonight, we're a modest favorite over Belgium. Belgium obviously beat us in 2014, us, the U.S., in 2014. Romelu Lukaku had the game winner. He was a young Lukaku back then. He was a late sub in that game. Hat made a run down the right side. Tim Howard stood on his head in that game. Chris Wondolowski missed a sitter that could have been a big goal in extra time in that game. Instead, the U.S. lost. That was in Brazil. Now we get that rematch. They did play in a friendly recently. Belgium did defeat the U.S. in that game. Not all the Team USA's players were, key players were in that game as well. Going to be a very difficult game. Belgium had a great comeback against Senegal, down 2-0, and were able to come back in that one there. Benefited from a slightly controversial penalty in that one there, too. So, should be a wild game. Looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to Spain and Portugal. That's the first game of the day. Spain has yet to concede in this tournament. They're one of the two betting favorites along with France all along. They've started to hit their form. Really looking forward to this day of games.
Yeah, Team USA, a -130 money line favorite over Belgium tonight. Spain, a heavy favorite over Portugal, as you would expect. Obviously, the winners of those two will play on Friday afternoon. Did just get an alert, by the way, Jeff, that the appeal to the appeal from Belgium has been dismissed by FIFA. So I think we can officially expect Balogun to be out there tonight for Team USA. Let's talk quickly, Jeff, about a few of the results that we saw over the weekend, specifically a full slate of games yesterday. Norway takes down Brazil 2-1. Look, even me as a non-soccer guy, Jeff, I was aware of Erling Haaland coming into the tournament, but this felt like the official coming out party for Haaland, at least to the non-soccer fans in the United States. We, of course, saw Neymar officially announce his retirement from international play following that exit for Brazil. Ended up being a 2-1 win for Norway, but just a kind of a nondescript game, I thought, from Brazil, right? A traditional power, a team that has fallen off a little bit over these last few World Cups, never really felt like they were in control.
That's right. They had their chances in this one. First half, I thought they controlled play a good chunk of it. They had the better scoring opportunities. Norway may have had more possession. I thought the quality of possession for Brazil was better. Obviously, they had the penalty stopped. That was a massive play. Not choosing Vinny Jr. to take it. You know, I know Landon Donovan went on and on about it there. Carlo Ancelotti, the Brazil manager, after the game said their data suggested that, Vinny wasn't even the top five option for them among the entire roster. About those on the field, he might have been second or third, but at the time. But the thing that stood out to me is Haaland, the second goal in particular, the marking on that by the Brazil defense was atrocious. Maybe it's because they were tired. They were down 1-0. They were kind of beaten down a little bit. But he had time to take two touches, set his feet, and then blast a shot. He shouldn't, it's Erling Haaland. I don't care if he doesn't play in South America. They should know better that not to give him that space. I think they were just tired at that point in time and beaten down. But that one, he should not have even had the time to get off such a clean shot like that. I thought horrible defending on that play.
Well, and that was after Norway was basically in prevent mode, right? You know, they're killing
right.
clock.
Exactly.
They're just kind of kicking the ball around. And then you could almost see the calculation in Haaland's head of like, are they really just going to give me this? It was such a casual just laser, into the corner of the goal. And, obviously that ended up being kind of the official coronation moment for Norway. So they will move on now to the round of eight. We, of course, Jeff, have to talk about England, Mexico, an all-timer last night.
Yes.
We will table that for now. We'll talk about that with Patrick Maher a little bit later in the show. But just this would be like a 15-minute discussion if we wanted to go in full on that game. But before we talk a little bit about the NBA Summer League, we'll have more World Cup coverage coming for you as we roll along. You want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where sharp action is moving across all markets, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every single day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head over to rotowire.com right now. Use that promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Put in that code at checkout. It'll get you 15% off anything we offer at RotoWire. Again, that's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N.
All right, Nick, as you teased, it is NBA Summer League time. I will say one thing about England-Mexico, top three game of the tournament so far, right there with Argentina and Cape Verde. As you said, we will talk with Patrick Maher about that a little bit more. It's Summer League time. Usually we go there to some of these games. We're not going to be in Vegas this year, but we've already seen some action there. We had Utah and California action this weekend. The Vegas Summer League begins Thursday. Let's talk a little Darren Peterson. A lot of turnovers to start off.
Yeah, and look, that's common for, especially some of these rookies, guys who come in with expectations, guys who put up huge usage rates early in summer league. The turnovers, the fouls, you'll see guys pick up 8-9 fouls in a summer league game. 10 actually disqualifies you, especially big men tend to struggle with that. But look, watching Darren Peterson on Saturday, it did not feel to me like he had 8 turnovers. Didn't really look like he was struggling at all. I was extremely impressed. And look, Cam Boozer played well. Darius Acuff had some moments. Cameron Carr has shined so far for the LA Lakers. But I think with Peterson, there was so much controversy with the way things ended at Kansas. It kind of felt like he tapered off as the season went along. You're wondering, okay, where's this guy at physically? And then even through the draft process, does he want to be in Utah? Did they kind of draft him against his will? What I wanted to see more than anything, and this is what you're looking for with these big-time draftees early on, is stand out. You don't want to blend in, especially at the Utah or the California Summer League, where the talent is even more diluted than it is in Vegas. And this reminded me of some of Darren Peterson's better games at Kansas, where he just jumps off the screen and it's like, is this a 6-year NBA veteran playing at the college level? Like, that's what it looked like to me on Saturday. There were times, especially, you know, in these full court, these fast break situations, where he's moving at like half speed, and it's just completely effortless. The way that he's able to hide the ball from defenders, get his way to the rim. You know, we knew about the shooting, and he shot the ball well. He hit 4 threes on Saturday, but his ability to get to the rim, his ability to finish through contact, I thought was extremely impressive. So he's at the top of the list for me as far as guys who I think made a positive first impression. Those 8 turnovers aside, I thought Cam Boozer very much looked the part in his 24 minutes for Memphis on Saturday. 15 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 7 of 11 from the field. I think the best compliment, Jeff, that I could give Cam Boozer is it looked just like it did at Duke, which was a big question mark for me, because you watch the way he played, the way he dominated
right
at the college level, and you think, okay, can you get away with that against NBA competition? It's a little bit more of an old school game, but I thought he was finishing at the same rate. I thought the passing was really impressive, the way he was able to get to his spots, hit a couple nice fadeaways in the lane. Obviously, it's summer league. You know, we still need to see it against real NBA competition, but I think you have to be encouraged by what you saw from him. And then we got to mention Darius Acuff, Jeff. Lived up to the hype so far as what that usage rate might look like this season for the Sacramento Kings. Acuff did not play yesterday, but in his debut, 29 shots in 24 minutes, 25 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 9 of 29 from the field. He was just 1 of 9 from beyond the arc. So, look, the efficiency, it's going to be an uphill battle. I don't know if he's going to hit 40% from the field as a rookie, but there will be opportunity for Darius Acuff. I think he is going to embrace that opportunity for the Sacramento Kings. There's a reason he's in the running for the Rookie of the Year award. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to play a game of Play It or Pass It. We'll give you some MLB plays. We'll give you some World Cup plays as well. Keep it here. You're watching the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, hanging out with you from rotowire.com. We welcome in those listening along on SiriusXM, channel 158, and of course, all those streaming along on YouTube TV. It is time, once again, for one of our favorite segments here on Prop Points. It's called Play It or Pass It.
Smart play or stay away. This is Play It or Pass It.
Play It or Pass It here on Prop Points. Pretty self-explanatory, Jeff. I'm going to give you a prop. You're going to tell me if you like it or if you don't, if it's going to be on the card tonight or if it's going to be left on the cutting room floor. We'll start with some baseball plays. Busy slate this week as we close in on the All-Star break. We'll go out to maybe the biggest series ongoing, Jeff, and that is Rays-Yankees. Tampa Bay has opened up a 4-game lead over the Yankees in the AL East. It's been a rough last few weeks for New York. We're looking at Cam Schlittler, over 6.5 strikeouts tonight. This is plus 109, again, on the road in Tampa. Play it or pass it.
Yeah, huge series. Yankees have lost 9 out of 10, and they've just looked bad doing it, too. That's the thing that is noteworthy here. Let's focus on Schlittler. He is coming off of his worst start, allowed 4 homers against the Tigers, 6 runs in 4 innings. You know, he still managed 5 strikeouts in that stretch, and the strikeout skill has been pretty good. He has fallen short of that mark in 4 out of his last 7, and he did strike out 8 against the Rays, but that was back on April 12th. A quick look at the Rays. They have the second lowest strikeout rate in baseball when they're at home at 17.8%. It's the 4th lowest in baseball in the last 30 days at 19%. So they're not striking out a ton. Schlittler is a little off in his game, perhaps. He's fallen short of this mark in 4 of his last 7. I'm going to pass it with a little bit of regret because it is plus 109. Usually those strikeout props, you're getting a lot of minus prices here, but I think it reflects this price reflects the difficulty of the outcome here. I'm going to pass it. It's close, though.
So another series ongoing in the NL, Jeff, maybe not quite the same magnitude of Yankees Rays. That is Dodgers Rockies. Dodgers are up to, I believe, a 14 game lead now in the NL West. The Rockies had some fun moments early on. They have regressed into being the Colorado Rockies, but we're going to focus in on Freddie Freeman tonight. So Freddie Freeman, just to record at least one RBI, that's plus 162 over at DraftKings. Play it or pass it.
Yeah, up against Kyle Freeland. It's in Dodger Stadium, not Coors, so that hurts a little bit. Although Kyle Freeland somehow is worse on the road this year than at home, an ERA of eight, over eight on the road. But Freddie Freeman doesn't have a ton of past success against Freeland. 639 OPS, three RBI, and 41 plate appearances. Dodgers' offense is rolling right now, though. They're getting runners on base in front of Freeman a decent amount. And they're just reeling me in here with the price, plus 162. I'm going to go ahead and dabble in it. I'm going to play it.
Do a couple more baseball props before we transition over to the World Cup. We got Walker Buehler on the hill. Padres taking on the Diamondbacks tonight. Buehler coming off of just a straight up shellacking. Jeff, there's no other term I think we could use here in unfavorable conditions against the Cubs last time out. It pitched well prior to that. We were looking at outs recorded for Walker Buehler under 15.5. That's minus 134 at DraftKings. Play it or pass it.
This is a really good number on the prop itself, 15.5. He's hit this number five out of his last 10 starts. So basically they kind of nailed the range. You know, it's always anywhere between 4.2 innings and six innings, except for that last start against the against the Cubs, which is just hideous. He's also way better at home in Petco Park. 3.13 ERA, 1.15 WHIP, 46 innings pitched and nine starts, meaning he's averaging about that 5.1 in his home starts. Because it's right on the number, I look at the price, and the price isn't that great. Minus 134 to hit that number. So many things could go wrong, and you're not getting the payout if it works out. So I'm going to pass it because it's minus money and significant minus money at that.
Jordan Alvarez and the Astros are on the road in the nation's capital to begin the week. Alvarez to hit a home run, Jeff, is down to plus 222 at DraftKings. He's got four over his last five games. So play it or pass it at plus 222.
Yeah, interesting price here, plus 222. It's a pretty decent price. I was looking around on RotoWire's prop tool, and we list eight different books, and this was the best price you could find. Yeah, it was as low as plus 205 over at Caesars, very similar at Circa. So you're getting a relative decent price as far as that goes compared to other sports books to start off with. Alvarez has hit 13 of his 29 homers on the road, so it's not a home road thing for him. Washington's always a good place to hit home runs. It's warm, it's humid. It's going to be rainy. That's the one thing I worry about a little bit. The clinching factor is he's up against Miles Michaelis, who might be working with an opener in front of him. Michaelis has already allowed 18 homers on the season. Is pitching up against the suspension, waiting for the ruling on that one. But because of that matchup, because of some of the other factors there and the price, I am going to play it.
We'll take a look at some World Cup props in just a moment. But folks, if you're betting at the Circa Sportsbook for a limited time, you could fund your wagers and your contest entries with crypto using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast. It's secure. It's another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com to learn more. That's BurraPay.com. You can take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at the Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino. BurraPay transaction fees waived as part of a campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. Again, check it out over at BurraPay.com. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. It's Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network, playing a game of play it or pass it. So, Jeff, we got some baseball plays on the card. We now transition over to the World Cup, and we'll start with the late game tonight. USA-Belgium, as we told you earlier in the show, the appeal to the appeal has officially failed for Belgium. So we will see Balogun out there tonight for Team USA. Looking at the team total for the USA, Jeff, over 1.5 team goals scored, minus 106 is your price. Play it or pass it. Could Team USA get at least two on the board?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one because the USA has been scoring at a really good rate in this tournament. 4-1 against Paraguay, 2-0 against Australia. lost 3-2 against Turkey, but it was a wide open game. Obviously, the Bosnia game, USA won 2-0. You dig back a little farther, and you've got a friendly against Belgium where they lost 5-2. They beat Senegal in a friendly 3-2. So they're a scoring team. They also are a conceding team for the most part. Belgium, on the other hand, before the Senegal game, they had been very stingy defensively. They did fall behind against Senegal 2-0 before rallying. If you go back into World Cup qualifying, they only had one game in qualifying where they allowed more than one goal, and that was against Wales in a game they won 4-3. So this is a pretty solid defensive team. So this is a closer call than I thought it might have been, because if you just look at the USA's results, I mean, yeah, sure. Well, it's the levels have gotten harder here. We're at a higher level in the video game now, and it's going to be a little trickier. I'm going to play it. I think it's a little bit of a – it's right on that borderline there. I think this could be a 2-1 game. And the winner, yeah, I think it's going to be one of those where it could come down to even all the way down to kicks at the end. I'm going to play it, but it's close.
So total goals, including stoppage time, is sitting at 3.5 at DraftKings. Would you lean under on that number?
You know, I think I would. What's the price on that one?
The under 3.5 is -170, over is +135.
Yeah, see, there you go. Yeah, I like the number. I don't like the price. So, -170 is a hefty price to pay for pretty much any bet. But, I do like the number there. I like the under 3.5 total goals.
So Team USA, again, a -130 favorite at DraftKings just to win straight up against Belgium. We have Spain in the afternoon window. That's coming up at 3 p.m. Eastern, -220 on the money line. Portugal, +175. Looking at this game, Jeff, both teams to score. It's -145, play it or pass it.
Yeah, and this one comes down from the RotoWire smart money tool here. Spain hasn't conceded in this tournament yet. No goals allowed. So, you know, and Portugal's had a couple of low-scoring games, including that 0-0 game against Colombia. So on its face, you're like, this doesn't look like a great bet. But then you go back a little farther. In Portugal, you just look at Portugal's run. You look at their roster. They did play Spain in the Nations Cup final last year in June. That was a 2-2 game. Portugal ultimately won and kicks from the mark on that one there. You know, this is where I share a little discomfort with soccer betting a little bit there, knowing how good of a price is this one? The -145 on its face seems a little steep. It's closer to a stay away than anything, but gun to head, I'm going to play it more than I'd pass it.
Okay, there we go. Playing both teams to score again, -145 is your price there. We are, what, about an hour and a half away from Portugal, Spain, getting us started on this two-game Monday in the World Cup. We have Patrick Maher joining us when we come back from break. So we will go quite a bit deeper on all of his plays for the USA-Belgium game. We'll get his plays for Spain-Portugal and back up a little bit. Make sure we give due justice to what we witnessed last night in what was a wild game between England and Mexico. England on to the next round, a devastating home loss for Mexico. But a lot to unpack with that game. We'll do it on the other side. Patrick Maher, host of VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line when we return. Keep it here. You're watching Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jumping on with us on the Progressive Guest Line is one of our favorite guests. He is Patrick Maher, host of VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio, weeknights, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Follow him on Twitter at The Rap Radio. Patrick, we were talking during the break, still buzzing off that game last night. Mexico, England, maybe game of the tournament, definitely top three. So many incredible storylines in that one. I just appreciation for Jude Bellingham on top of it for me.
Yeah, Jeff, you and I were talking about it. It was theater. And I was concerned Mexico City, if Mexico won, they were going to blow the city up. If they lost, who knows? But it ends up being epic. I'll say this about England. We know the stats about Azteca. They don't lose there. And England goes in there, picks up a W, and their best players showed out, Kane and Bellingham. Jeff, you and I were talking about Bellingham in England because the Real transfer doesn't necessarily get the props he deserves. He was by far and away the best player on the pitch last night in Mexico. He saved the goal when they were down a man. And then I got to give England credit. When they were down a man, they stepped their game up. And Tuchel with the right replacements there and subs with the big players to kind of prevent those crosses into the box. England advances tremendous.
To you, Patrick, watching that game last night, did this feel more like just an incredible defensive performance by England to hang on, to survive the onslaught after they went down to 10 men, kind of ended up ripping this game away from Mexico? Or was it more blown opportunities by this Mexico team to play essentially the entire second half with the advantage? You give up a brutal penalty that basically hands the goal to England to make it 3-1. Then you're in a deeper hole. Looking back, like, is this a game that you felt, you know, with what, 40 minutes left, okay, I think Mexico should win this game? Or were you still feeling like England was in control despite being a man down?
When they picked up the penalty, Nick, you know, that to me, I thought we might get into extras 3-3. But we have to remember, and the Mexican goalkeeper has played really well. He wasn't goalkeeper one for Mexico. The goalkeeper tore his Achilles coming into it. And that mistake ultimately ended up being the difference maker. When England goes down a man, goalie comes out, misplays the ball, takes out the... And so to me, that was kind of the mistake of the match. And then when Mexico needed to get something, they just didn't have the quality. Like, they didn't have enough offensive innovativeness to like get something into the box and make a difference against England, who's very sound defensively. England's good. Like, we love to clown England, what, 66, but England is legit in this tournament and the odds bear it out.
In the earlier game, Norway beat Brazil. I thought some horrible marking by the Brazilian defenders against Holland on that second goal. Plenty of missed opportunities for Brazil, but let's be clear. This was not for the Brazil team that's been a power in recent years. They've been kind of disappointing the last three cups, and this was kind of a continuation of that trend.
You know, I know it's like in vogue to be embarrassed to be American right now. Is this a safe space? Am I allowed to cheer for the United States? Jeez, I live by the Pacific, and it's high tide the last 2 days because of all the tears flowing in. Shut up, world. Let me say this, Jeff. Brazil stinks. And we're riding off the fact that they've won 5 World Cups. Ancelotti, he could not figure out what to do with the team. They weren't on their front foot. Obviously, they're not a big passing team, but they couldn't complete anything. They were hoping for individual brilliance from Vinny, and it just didn't happen. I thought they were overrated coming into the tournament, and I thought Norway was underrated coming into the tournament. Norway's loaded. Norway has dudes on the bench that are good. And obviously, Erling Haaland, the world is starting to figure out what a striker he is. The better team won yesterday, Norway.
Get into some picks from our guy, Patrick Maher, in just a moment. But folks, the fireworks may have faded, but we're still celebrating here at VSiN through July 7th. For just $2.99, you get 2 full years of VSiN Pro access. That's nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You'll get our NFL season betting guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, plus AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide, every season preview, every new VSiN Pro feature we roll out over the next 2 years. But don't wait. The special 4th of July offer disappears after July 7th. That is, of course, tomorrow. So head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Do it right now. You can lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $2.99. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We're chatting with Patrick Maher, host of Mad Dog Sports Radio. You can catch that weeknights 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern. You can find him on Twitter at The Rap Radio, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Before we let you go off, Patrick, on Team USA tonight, we do need to start. We're going to go chronologically here at 3 p.m. Eastern, Portugal, Spain, our first game of the day. Anything going to be on the card for that one?
Yeah, this one is an easy cap, boys. Goals. Get excited because it's about to go off. These two met in Nations League about a year ago. Four goals scored there. Last four matches, Spain and Portugal, obviously neighboring nations, averaged about 3.5, like 3.3. Both teams average 2.7 the last three matches. I'm giving you stats, and it doesn't really matter. Too much attacking firepower for both Portugal and Spain. You might even see something like happen with Portugal and Croatia, where it's tight, and then all of a sudden a goal kind of opens it up. We're going to go over here at 2.5 on Portugal and Spain.
Yeah, all right. I'm hoping that that's the case because, you know, Spain's been so good defensively, haven't conceded yet, but I do like the past history. I'm curious, how much will Ronaldo play? Will they take him off early like they did in the last game? I think they probably should.
Jeff, it wasn't even Martinez having the gumption to take Ronaldo off. He just got caught with his substitution pattern. Like, I think Ronaldo, if Martinez hadn't botched it, would still have been out there. I think it's probably getting a little overrated how bad Ronaldo is at this point and what a an anchor he is on the team. But I would agree with you. I think he's better to come in over the last 30 minutes.
All right, so we like the over 2.5 in Portugal, Spain, Patrick. Let's get to the nightcap. Team USA, Belgium, 8 p.m. Eastern. Anything you're playing with the total here? Are you going right to the money line? What's going to be on the card for Team USA tonight?
They're playing tonight?
I think they might be.
I'm playing. Boys, to say I'm buzzing about this one is like the biggest. First off, Seattle is going to be freaking electric. I just realized July 4th, we just turned 250. So United States got here 10 minutes ago. We're a little country ranked 17th in FIFA, and everybody all of a sudden is shook. And they should be. This is a Belgium team that's a long way from the golden generation. We know De Bruyne. We know Lukaku, who is a little chubby. We know the best player on the field is going to be Jeremy Doku. But that doesn't matter. If this goes long and the United States is in it, their youth and just their conditioning is going to be better than Belgium. I think Richards and Robinson is a back four that's dynamic. And frankly, I think Pulisic on the left and Dest on the right will test those Belgium fullbacks that frankly aren't very dynamic. I don't think it's a great Belgium team, boys. I have a lot of confidence that the United States is going to win. I ended up taking them to win -130 as far as extras. But if you want to have a little fun and get crazy with the 90, I wouldn't be afraid of it.
Do we want to weigh in on Balogun again here? I know the appeal of the appeal has been denied. We're done with appeals as far as I know of, unless there's some other supernatural force that wants to weigh in. Maybe we get Marvel to weigh in there and have Thanos jump in and say something. But do you want to weigh in on Balogun, or should we just talk about some individual player props?
What happened? Can you remind me? So here's the thing. Here's the thing about Balogun, and this might be a hot take from an American. I honestly wish it hadn't happened. I think Pepe would have been fine. I don't think we needed him against Belgium. I think that's going to play out tonight. I think we're the better squad right now. I think perception doesn't equal reality in 2026 in football/soccer. And if I sound cocky, boys, I just think the United States is a better team. So the Balogun would play on top 10 teams across the world. They're just afraid to admit it. And yes, he's our best striker the United States has ever had. So it's a bonus to have him back, but we didn't need him.
So are you going to be on air tonight on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Patrick, during the game?
Yeah, Nick, okay. You can jump on with me because I need somebody to talk. My broadcast style is very different than most. I don't speak well. I use slang, and I just watch and bet games and hope people join me. So I'm going to be filling in for Stephen A from 3 to 6 Pacific on Mad Dog Sports Radio. So that last hour of the program is going to be the first half of United States Belgium. So get ready for dead air and me screaming at the top of my lungs. So please, Jeff, Nick, come join me.
That is exactly what I was hoping to hear, Patrick. If you need somebody to do a live look in on Lakers Spurs in the California Classic Summer League tonight, maybe we'll hop on and join you. But please, I implore you, make sure you check out what promises to be a very special edition of Mad Dog Sports Radio coming up tonight with our guy Patrick Maher joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll get Jeff Erickson's baseball plays when we come back. You're watching VSiN.
You're cashing prop points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson back with you. It's the Monday edition of Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Closing in on the All-Star break in Major League Baseball. One more week until we head into the break after Sunday's slate. We got eight games coming our way on Monday, including a day game between the Phillies and the Royals. We'll try to get you some plays for each and every one of those games before we leave you with our best bets of the night. Jeff, let's head out to KC, where we get Christopher Sanchez taking on Noah Cameron. Fun pitching matchup. We have the Phillies heavily favored on the road. -205 is your money line price. Total coming in at 8.5. So how are you playing this one? Noah Cameron, you know, is that a solid season so far? It's been a disappointment overall for the Kansas City Royals, but always going to feel a little bit lopsided when you see Sanchez on the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, first thing I want to point out is the start time of this game, 2:10 Eastern time. This is a wraparound series, except it's not even wraparound because they didn't play on Friday due to the World Cup. So it's a getaway day on a Monday instead. Set your lineups in your fantasy leagues early because, you know, we got all our roster decisions to make. Christopher Sanchez on the road has been almost mortal. I wouldn't say completely mortal, but 3.89 ERA, 1.34 whip, 6 of his 8 homers allowed. Kauffman Stadium is a pretty decent hitter's ballpark since they moved the fences in. We've been talking about that since the weather's heated up. Whatever wind there is today is supposed to be blowing in. You know, that can change all the time. I know that, you know, the Missouri-Kansas winds can change pretty rapidly, but still, I kind of like the Royals over team total. It feels squeamish. You're going against Christopher Sanchez here, and he could go 8 shutout and make me look like a total fool in this one here. But we're getting plus money at 3.5, and I like that price. That's one of the things that you kind of attracted me to that there. They're reeling me in again. +120 over at DraftKings. Royals over 3.5.
Let's go to that Yankees-Rays series, Jeff. A big one in the AL East. Cam Schlittler, Griffin Jacks, your pitching matchup tonight. Yankees have dropped 12 of their last 15 overall. They dropped 2 of 3 to the Twins over the weekend. Swept by Detroit, swept by Boston. Prior to that, Rays have been nails at home this season, so maybe an uphill battle for the Yankees. Tampa Bay just -112, though, on the money line. We got a low total at 7.5.
Yeah, and, you know, it has been miserable for the Yankees. Not just that the results, but just how they're losing. The defense is in shambles, base running errors, injuries left and right. It's been pretty miserable. It might be better for this Yankees team to get out on the road right now. Try to shift their luck up a little bit there after losing 9 of 10, as you mentioned, just a horrible homestand this week. They are 26-20 on the road. Obviously, a lot of that was accumulated when they had a healthy Aaron Judge. That goes a long way. But it's Cam Schlittler on the mound, and I know he was bad in his last start, but we're getting a really good price for Cam Schlittler. The best price I found for if you want the Yankees money line is -103 at Circa. I know we're going up against Griffin Jackson. He's been good at home. I was kind of looking in at his strikeout prop, but I think it's appropriately set there. It's not really exploitable so much. The Rays are 31-12 at home. This is a tough road to hoe, but it's Cam Schlittler who is their ace right now. I'm getting a really good price on him on a money line. I feel like I'm obligated to take it.
Yankees money line, -103 at Circa, adding that one to our MLB card for today. Let's go out to DC, Jeff. Astros, Nats, Mike Burrows, Miles Michaelis, your pitching matchup. We got the Nats as slight favorites at home. Totals all the way up at 10.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of the first of two matchups in a row where we're like, ooh, a lot of home runs in this one here. Really attracted to the offenses on both sides here. Something to keep in mind with Burrows and Michaelis, 37 combined homers between the two starters. There is some rain in the forecast. We talked about that with the Yordan Alvarez prop earlier in Play It or Pass It. But I'm just going to keep it simple here. I'm going to go over 2.5 on the total homers between the two teams, -160 at DraftKings. Spend some time, dig around, see if you can find a better price at one of your books there is in terms of that. But I like the number at 2.5. I think they get over that.
So you got Mets Braves in Atlanta starting up tonight, 7:15 p.m. Eastern first pitch. Atlanta -131 on the money line, total sitting at 9. Mets are still the Mets, Jeff. The Braves have cooled off a little bit over the last few weeks. We get Freddy Peralta taking on Ronaldo Lopez. So how are you playing this game?
I'm attacking Freddy Peralta. I know he's a little bit better on the road than he is at home. The Braves lineup started to heat up over the weekend. They had that crazy game yesterday against the Mets. They lost 10-8. But I think the hitting conditions are good. I think Peralta's attackable. Whatever win there's going to be is going to be blowing out. I think it's going to be another high-scoring game. I'm going to take the Braves team total over 4.5. You get that at -115 over at DraftKings. Quick fantasy note on that one there. A.J. Ewing has been batting a lot of leadoff lately, so he's stepping up. He's starting to hit for a little bit more power. He has 5 homers now in the season. Another young – there's some good kernels of good news coming out of this Mets season. It's hard to find, but between he and Carson Benj, we're starting to see some good things happen with the Mets.
It's got Brewers-Cardinals in St. Louis. This is the first of 3 games over the next 2 days. Doubleheader coming up tomorrow for these 2 teams. Brutal schedule. Not a lot of off days for the Milwaukee Brewers leading up to the All-Star break. We'll see Shane Drohan on one side. We'll see Dustin May on the other, Jeff. It's been a roller coaster, to say the least, for Dustin May over these last 3 or 4 starts.
It has. He had that back injury, and I think that changed everything for him. He was clearly not himself in his last start against the Braves. Tough outing there. It's a shame. It looked like he was turning a corner, and then he had that injury. And he's only gone 2 2/3 between the last 2 outings combined, and he's been just raked across the coals in these. Their horrible outing against the Royals before that. So it's a bummer. And maybe it's not a coincidence that the back injury came after he threw a complete game in his previous start. Sometimes you push it, it's not just the number of pitches, it's the number of up downs and all that. Maybe that has a little bit of something to do with this downturn that's happened recently here. Meanwhile, the Brewers are a machine, 55-33. You look at and it's not a fluke. You look at the run differential, +127, best in the non-Dodgers world out there. So I think I'm going to just keep rolling with that there. I'm going to take the Brewers money line, -107 at Circa.
Yeah, Brewers took 2 of 3 from the Diamondbacks over the weekend. A little bit more of a slog of a series, I think, than they were hoping for. But that's kind of who the Brewers have become, Jeff. It has not necessarily been pretty, especially of late. But you look up, they're somehow winning 2 out of every 3. It feels like just about every series. Let's go to Diamondbacks Padres. Brandon Pfaadt on one side, Walker Buehler on the other. Anything for you in this game?
Yeah, first of all, we get to pick on Walker Buehler again. Brandon Pfaadt on the other side, too, is probably attackable. It is in Petco, so of course that changes some of the calculus here. But I'm going to go with a little Corbin Carroll here. I want to go with the total bases on Corbin Carroll. Get that at +126 over at DraftKings. I just like the ability to attack, go ahead and go after Walker Buehler. I know he's much better at home. We talked about that a little bit earlier there, 3.13 ERA at home, but again, I think left-handers in particular are pretty strong against him. Let's bet on one of my favorite players. I love watching Corbin Carroll play. Just the Corbin Carroll triples are just a thing of beauty, and I want to see more of that there. Only 2 career bats against Buehler, so not a whole lot to go on and past matchups there, but I'm going to go with him.
They're kind of an interesting matchup out west tonight, Jeff, where we get the Blue Jays and the Giants. I don't think anybody is overly fired up to be backing Kevin Gausman on one side or Landon Roop on the other. I'm also not fired up to back either of these offenses. So any way that you could find to play Blue Jays Giants, where we got the 8 and basically split on the money line, Blue Jays just a slight road favorite.
Gausman was a lot better his last time out. And I know this Giants team is a better hitting team than they were earlier in the year. But still, I think he's maybe someone we can back a little bit today. I like the strikeout prop. You get it at plus money over 5.5. The best price I can see right now is DraftKings at +107. Search around, see if you can find a better one there. 5.5 strikeouts. I think you can get to this on a Giants team that's on his first game back after being in Coors Field. And I always kind of a little wary of hitting lineups there after they spend a weekend in Coors Field. The ball breaks a lot more when they get back home. Maybe that first game back, you attack them.
Before we get to our best bets of the night, Jeff, Rockies-Dodgers is our one remaining matchup. Again, total coming in at 10. Dodgers, huge home favorites on the money line.
Yeah, there's a high total for a reason. It's Eric Lauer versus Kyle Freeland. Freeland, as we talked about before, has been just as bad on the road. I like the over 9.5. You can get that over at Bet Rivers at -117. because Eric Lauer always rates low on all the stuff plus and other advanced metrics there.
Best bets of the night. We are both going to Major League Baseball. What do you got for us, Jeff?
Best bet for me is going to be that Braves team total over 4.5 -115 over at DraftKings.
I'm taking over 8 in Brewers Cardinals -111 at DraftKings. You know, Brewers offense has not been in elite territory of late. They've had some guys going up and down, but very wary of what we see out of Dustin May coming off of 2 disaster outings, dealing with that back injury, dealing with an ankle as well. So we'll go over 8 in Brewers Cards. Keep it locked here on VSiN. We're closing in on Spade Portugal Money Moves. Stormy Bonnet, Tony JVT coming up next. Talk to you tomorrow.